The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Tuesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, Sirius XM Channel 158. Gil Alexander, it's Kelly Bidlin. How you doing?
Doing great. How are you?
I'm guffawing. Is that the right word? Brouhaha, whatever I'm doing.
Okay.
Your scramble to get all the papers off the desk.
Yeah, and I'd just make it nice and clean before.
Does someone scold you in the ear and get you to do
that?
No.
I just saw a stack over there.
Nicely done. Well done. Good show today. Drew Dinsick will join us as he does each and every Tuesday. Talk NBA, a little tennis maybe with us. See if he has any plays in Monte Carlo. Paul Carr on a little Champions League midweek on the show. Mark Borchardt on baseball. Will Hill, all of his baseball bets and anything else he's betting these days. We got to start with a national championship, the Natty last night. Congratulations to everybody who had Florida to win it all, or who had Walter Clayton Jr. as MOP, most outstanding player. The kids call it MOP. I don't know if any kids call it that, actually, but anybody who had that bet, like, sorry, you're an FSU grad. I assume you graduated. Sorry about that for you.
Only took 5 years, but yeah, I got home. It got home.
5 years counts. It still works.
Not a doctor. I had to ignore several text messages last night, this morning, family, friends that all went to Florida.
Amazing.
Congratulations.
Amazing game. Listen, nearly 48 hours after Houston did the impossible, scored the final 9 points against Duke to just shockingly upset the Blue Devils. Last night, I don't know if you could say they gacked the game, but let's just put it this way. They trailed for only 63 seconds in this ball game. They lose to Florida 65-63. Florida gets the cover. Remember, they were 1-point favorites. This game, some might say, miraculously goes under because of the weird way it was officiated in the second half. The first half was officiated, I think it was Jay Williams over at ESPN, who said they officiated like a UFC match in the first half and then like a ballet in the second, where they're like, oh, that's a little ticky-tack right there. We'll have to call that. And Houston ends up being held to 31% shooting in the second half and committed 7 turnovers in the second half, including one on their final 4 possessions of the game. Florida's first lead in the second half came with 46 seconds left and an ending. There's the real Jay Williams tweet. You can't call the first half like a UFC fight. Call the second like it's a ballet. Shout out to Florida for best adjusting to the second half. But this game was horribly officiated. Only 4 fouls total were called in the first half, 25 in the second. And he goes on with the tweet. But that's the crux of it right there. And listen, Florida adapted that much better, one might say. The ending, Emmanuel Sharpe, 2 turnovers at the end. Of course, the famous one will always be him jumping up with the basketball, Clayton Jr. sort of lunging at him, Sharp getting caught in the air. And you saw Sampson's face, Kelvin Sampson, sort of catatonic almost. He called it incomprehensible that the Cougars couldn't get a shot off in the final 2 possessions as Houston closed the game with back-to-back turnovers by Sharp. And a win would have marked, we'll start with the Houston side, a win would have been Sampson's 800th career win and the first national title. And, you know, what's that? Immediately your first ballot Hall of Famer, they say, on stuff like that. Instead, this always gives us an opportunity to go back in history. And this is what I love so much about sports beyond even betting. But it wasn't Freddie Brown, 1982 Georgetown, with the ball down 1, crosses half court, sees a jersey sort of flash in his peripheral vision on the right side, and he throws it right to James Worthy of North Carolina, and that was it in 1982. It wasn't Chris Webber in 93 calling a timeout that Michigan didn't have against North Carolina, but it did elicit the same sort of stunned reaction for a couple seconds where you're like, did that just really happen? And I was at, Kelly, I was at a restaurant watching this. I have family in town. We were at Nora's watching on TVs, and so we didn't have the audio. Mm. And my first reaction, I'm not sure how many people's reaction was this at all, but my first reaction was, could he have still dribbled? Like, without getting sort of like that part of it, I was like, was he still eligible? And everyone was like, no, he couldn't have. They immediately called that on the announcing team, yeah, that he was no longer eligible to dribble. But what a shocking way to end that basketball game. And Florida, I mean, I just want to say this, and this is, again, this is what makes these March Madness I don't care what version of it we get from year to year. It always lives up to the hype. Always. By the way, Evan H. Abrams, our old buddy, for the first time since the 92 NCAA tournament, the team leading at the half of all three Final Four games lost outright. I hearken back to 2019. I think about this Florida run. And we toss around in sports the cliche team of destiny a lot. Florida, you know, just go back in this tournament. They, you know, first of all, this they were down 12 yesterday. It ties for the third biggest comeback in finals history. But if you go back in this tournament, round of 32, of course, against UConn, the two-time defending champs, UConn led with under 3 minutes left. Florida overcomes that. They trailed by 9, Florida did, or more, in the second half of each of the last three wins. Texas Tech, most famously perhaps in the Elite Eight, Texas Tech led by 9 with under 3 minutes left. Remember, Florida scored 9 in a row. Texas Tech led until the 1 minute and 2 second mark, 62 seconds left in that ballgame. Final four, Auburn led by 8 at the half. They led by 9 at the beginning of the second half. Florida overcomes that. And of course, last night, as we just said, trailing by 12 from just over 9 minutes left. Florida then scored. This was the other part of this game that no one sort of mentioned because everyone's seizing on Florida's great defense. But Houston's vaunted defense, and maybe this had to do some with how the officials were calling this, but Florida scored from the just over 9 minute mark to the end of the game. Florida scored on all but 5 of their possessions, all but 5 against Houston's D. And one of those 5 was, remember, that tech that they called on Chinyelu for slamming the ball down and bouncing up. So Florida was as they were stopping Houston down the stretch in amazing fashion in those last 4 possessions, and particularly the last 2, Florida was kind of unstoppable.
Mm-hmm.
Which was the real sort of amazing part of this ballgame. And so that Virginia run, you think about that when you put all that in, the, you know, the comeback last night, but the UConn game, the Texas Tech game, the Auburn game. It's one of the great runs ever. It is not the luck boxiest run ever, because if we go back in just even in VEASAN history when we were doing this, the true team of destiny, it depends how you define team of destiny. Like Florida was, it doesn't matter how much you're beating us by, we're more talented than you are, we're going to win this ballgame. That's one way to define it. Virginia in 2019, to me, will always be the luck boxiest. If you define it by how they just pull games out of the proverbial you know what. That run, you remember, was a year after, it gives me a chance to just sort of go back in history. I know this has nothing to do with last night, but UVA was a year from having been upset in the first ever 16-1 upset, right? UMBC, University of Maryland, Baltimore County, a commuter school outside of Baltimore, beats them in a 16-1. So they live with this for a year. And then the part of the Virginia run that people don't remember is in the first game, it was another 116. They were a 1 seed. They're playing Gardner Webb. Gardner Webb's beating them by 14 in that game.
Yeah.
No one ever remembers that part. So they overcome that. They barely get by Oregon in the Sweet 16, a game where they were down 3 with over 5 minutes left. It's hard to like picture last night's basketball with basketball from the way that Virginia played. Virginia had such a slow pace 5 years ago, the slowest pace in the country. And they were down 3 with over 5 minutes left against Oregon in the Sweet 16. Kihei Clark hits a 3 to tie it at 45.
That's for almost
2 minutes, right? Nobody scores. Ty Jerome, then official player of a numbers game back then, because I knew his dad a little. He hit a 3 with 3:33 left, and that lead stuck all the way. No one scored till 27 seconds left in the game. Like that was basketball with Virginia in 2019. But then remember, they beat Purdue in the Elite Eight when they were down 2. Ty Jerome misses the free throw. Who was it? It was Diakite batted it back. Kihei Clark of Virginia gets the ball in the backcourt with 3 seconds left. Somehow he has the presence of mind not to heave it for a 3. He gets it back to Mamadi Diakite, who hits the jumper right at the buzzer. Virginia ends up winning that in overtime. They beat Auburn by 1 in the Final Four when they were down 4 with 17 seconds left. Kyle Guy hits a 3. Samir Dowdy of Auburn hits one of two free throws. Virginia gets the ball back and Guy gets fouled on a three with 0.06 seconds left on the clock. That's how they get to the final game. And then in the finals against Texas Tech, DeAndre Hunter, your guy, hits a two with 12 seconds left to force overtime. They hold Texas Tech and then they run them out in overtime. That's the luck boxiest team of destiny ever. But this Florida team might just be the most amazing in terms of what they overcame game after game. And congratulations. And of course, in the process, we have a formula buster. We have Todd Golden, who had never been to a Sweet 16 before. This is twice in 3 years now. And the question becomes, does the clause, you can't have coached in a Sweet 16 before you win a national title, now that we've had Dan Hurley and Todd Golden do it two out of the last 3 years, is that clause flimsy?
Yeah.
Or are they just two historically great coaches that overcame this? And if we talked about this in 10 years, we would still talk about them as two of three exceptions with Kevin Ollie.
No, I don't know that it needs to be thrown out or anything, but it's almost like it needs to be an asterisk. Like if you check every other box, you just have a coach who hasn't been there yet. I mean, we talk about all the time with these teams that you can't have won something until you win it, right? It's just, it's kind of that.
I don't know. It's a it's amazing that they were able to overcome that. I mean, it was a massive exception for all these years. And then these two kind of historical coaches, I think they're both historically great. If we can say that this early in Todd Golden's career, who, by the way, now is on the leaflet in perpetuity. Congratulations to Todd Golden, first Jewish head coach to win the national title since Steve Fisher with Michigan in 1989, 36 years ago when Larry Brown and Steve Fisher went back to back for the Tribe. So congratulations to all who had Florida. Will Hill with his thoughts and his bets next. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Want a bit smarter? I know you do. Start with smarter insights right now. You can check out Greg Peterson's MLB picks, Wes Reynolds' Masters player profiles, Adam Burke's first round leader analysis, the Masters. Later today, you can check out Zach Cohen's NBA best bets, Steve Mackinnon's MLB and NBA analytics reports, and Jonathan Davis's NHL picks. Right now, you can sign up for our summer special for just $59 for full VSiN Pro access until August 1st. Just head to VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up. Today we get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Brett Liedka. Can someone find me a team? Oh, this was during the game last night. He said, can someone find me a team foul count for the 14-minute mark of the second half through the end of that game? My memory has 10 on Houston and 3 on Florida. Absolute over adjustment by the officials. Why they lost? No, but sure didn't help. No, it didn't help. Didn't help, that's for sure. Given to Fly, one of the entries tied for first in the VSiN bracket challenge. Put in a no entry for the championship round, according to Given to Fly on Twitter. Is that right? Wow.
Oh, by the way, I didn't catch that.
By the way, congratulations to Matt Brown, who pulled the old matcheroony on Jensen Lewis. So we thought he might. Matt Brown, your VSiN bracket challenge from the VSiN employee standpoint. But for the real one, $3,000 first prize, $1,500 second prize, and a $500 third prize. The first and second prizes was going to be a tie, but the tiebreaker goes to Timothy Wack. Timothy Wack gets the full prize. Sean Barr, both with 79 points, and Terrell Jewell gets 78 points. He gets third prize. Congratulations to all y'all.
Yeah, well congratulations. Done. That's great.
Well done, Matt Brown with the old matcheroony.
Yeah, saw that one coming.
I believe that's the technical term. Mike Barton, by the way, Matt Brown only had to stave off a Jensen Lewis win and a Matt Brown loss, so he simply matched Jensen's play. Mike Barton cashed a fat Florida future from mid-January on a numbers game, which put me on it. The best part was the segment made it where I had all the teams in the Final Four. Thanks. Yeah, the formula did that for everybody. We always said Florida was the fly in the ointment. So the Florida, listen, it didn't get the one, but it kind of worked all year also in the same breath. Everybody pumped about the A's over last night again. We're doing it again today with another 8.5, by the way. Too many of those to go through. Dylan Cease and Springs on the mound for the Athletics. Flyball pitcher. So we're playing the over. Both in the first five and game, by the way. Tony Cocho, who says, the coach having Sweet 16 experience always was the redheaded stepchild part of the formula anyway, he said. Yeah, I don't know. It's easy to say now that Dan Hurley and Todd Golden have bucked it. But was it really before that? Michael Burns. Wow. Saw Parlay saying goodbye to the South Point studio. Great memories watching shows. Was there during a numbers game when the Big East tourney shut down during COVID and the start of lockdowns? Yes. Pour out a 40 for the South Point studio. Our buddy Jeff Parlay, Grover Cleveland of Producers 5 and 8, who was hosting a show there. Yesterday was the last day of that studio, which we inhabited here at VSiN for 6.5 years. At least a numbers game did for 6.5 years. Others had moved on to Circa. It will always be a great part of our memory. They will continue to do their show just from a different location in the building. Let's call it.
It's sad. You know, like you said, everything's continuing over there for those guys. So good to hear that.
Yes.
But yeah, end of an era, man. End of an era. We were talking about it a little bit yesterday, just the amount of people that you run into at town and be like, and you try to explain where we do shows from or what we do. And you're like, hey, you know, a little glass box next to the sports book in the South Point. Yeah. We're all right there. So yeah, a lot of years, a lot of great years there.
Ray 39, yo, rate the level of ungood, bad beat. If you had Duke money line in the semis and Houston in the finals, asking for a friend, very ungood feeling having those plays. And ice cold gambler. Yo, shout out to the best team on radio. Gil and Kelly, are we back on the over 8 in the Padres A's today? Let's go. Great day yesterday, boys. Let's keep the winning streak going. Yes, over 8.5. Will Hill joins us now to discuss college hoops and anything else he's betting on. He comes to us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at not the Will Hill, the host of the Shoulda Bet More podcast. What's happening, Will?
Gilly, what's going on, guys?
So, man, what did you think about that game? And then the tournament in general, it lives up to it every year, doesn't it?
Yeah, it was through the first, 60 games or so. It was kind of a dud, but it made up for it, I think, with the Final Four. Outstanding Final Four. And how about the emotion if you're Houston, if you're Kelvin Sampson? Look, I had Florida, but I felt really bad for him. I still feel bad for him. The high of Saturday night beating Duke, just imagine all the messages you're getting to come back. You're going to the title game, and then less than 48 hours later, you go home, and you go home like that. It's just it's a tough one. Watching, I want to watch it again. I wonder, I know you and I were texting, could he have kept his dribble going? And the answer is probably no. Do you grab the ball anyway and just dare the ref to make the call? And yeah, if not, all right, Florida gets 2 free throws, then you can continue the game. That's just letting the ball sit there, letting the clock tick off was not the best thing in terms of that. Could he have drawn a foul if he just had the angle right? Because the guy was up in the air. You just maybe you go into him and you get a whistle there. I don't know. It's just it was a tough one. It was, feel bad for Houston. Hell of a game, though. And it's funny. I've talked about this game, I think, with you and with other people that I was at a Quinnipiac Iona game 2 years ago, and there was maybe 200-300 people there. It's right down the road from me. Nobody there. Patino's coaching Iona, and Clayton Jr. is playing for Iona. You think 2 years later, Patino's amazing on the big stage in Madison Square Garden, Big East, champions, coach of the year, all that stuff, and then Clayton Jr. is doing this in the tournament. It's amazing how quickly life turns back to my original point. But I will give give whoever deserves credit, I'll give them credit, because I complain about these schedules all the time, especially living on the East Coast. They usually start this game 9:30 at night, and you're up till midnight watching the game. 8:50 was a nice change up at a little half hour adjustment. Yeah. It was a quick first half with no fouls. I looked up, it was like 9:40 Eastern, and we were through the first half. So the early start time plus no fouls in the first half, I thought it was nice to just get the game in at a reasonable hour. I thought that was a good adjustment. And I think I texted this in the group chat too. When Florida, it was either Golden or the Florida bench got the technical. I said, you know what, that might be the best thing for him, because they were getting the wrong end of the whistle. And sometimes you need to get a technical, you need to get teed up to make your point, and maybe this will turn the whistle. And I think it did. I think from that point forward, Houston made up that bad whistle, or the refs made up that bad whistle, and then some. I thought Florida really got the benefit of the whistle that last 12 minutes or whatever it was.
No, I didn't even think about it until you guys just brought it up. But that was like 30 minutes earlier than what they'd always historically done. Right?
I loved it, too. It made it so much more civil. You know, along the lines, just hearkening back to what you said about Clayton at Iona. And it, you know, usually at this point, right, when a season ends, my next question would all the follow-alls be like, OK, as we look to futures for next year, right? What do you think? You can't even ask that anymore. Can you really?
Unless you're no, I was thinking about doing it for my podcast too. Look ahead to next year's odds, and aside from reading the odds, I mean, what are you going by? You don't know.
Right.
These teams are all incomplete unless you really have some intel and you're dialed into. All right, this transfer might go here, and none of us are that in tuned with who's going where. That's really all it is. It's the information of who's staying, who's going. And it's nearly impossible to really fill in those blanks at this point.
That's one of the bigger changes in sports betting, where you just really can't have that conversation in the same way. To baseball. How's your baseball season gone so far?
Okay. Going okay. It's long season, doing ups and downs. So decent start so far.
Those were a lot of exhales, Will, I have to tell you. You're like,
sounds great.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. It's so day to day. You get some of these bad beats.
It's been awesome.
Because I play a lot of these like pitcher props, under hits allowed. Sometimes they, the usage of when they take these guys out and when they don't is can drive you nuts. But no, it's been decent. We get a Yankees Tigers game here at 1 o'clock Eastern, some day baseball. I don't know if you've seen the weather here. It's bright, it's sunny, it looks like a beautiful day in Detroit. It's like 20 degrees there, and Scooble's on the mound. So I did play Scooble under 4.5 hits allowed in that one.
Do you feel like, because we've thrown this out on the group chat, do you feel like, I think it was Wishnev who said, candidate for regression? Are you onto that or no?
Who is that, Scooble?
Scooble, yeah. Wasn't it Scooble he was saying that about? I think it was.
I'm not sure. I mean, it's hard to go anywhere but down. He was so great last year. So I'd be curious to hear his reasoning behind it. But I hadn't thought of him. I hadn't pegged him as somebody who, man, he can't keep it up. He looks he looks pretty good.
Yeah. I don't mean the natural. I mean, you're right. You can't go any higher than he was necessarily. But I think he meant more dramatic. What did you bet today? Anything?
Yep, I played Scooble under 4.5 hits allowed, and I did play under first five in Philly-Atlanta. Atlanta, pretty big series. They only got one win out of Miami. I think they looked at that like, hey, we get the Marlins, we can get on track. They split the two games, then they got a rainout. But Sale against Wheeler, I will go under 3.5 in the first five. And I did play a couple season win totals in the NFL. You'll have to explain to me why the Patriots are 8.5. I understand Vrabel's an upgrade, but you look at his last three or four seasons with the Titans. It's a lot of home playoff losses. They fell apart a couple years. So to me, them getting to 9 wins is a stretch. And I know Fez always talks about how ties are not accounted for. You're better off playing the unders. You guys talked about this last week, how in overtime now, both teams get the ball. I think we're going to see even more ties, maybe 3-4 ties this year, just because both teams get the ball. That would make you lean even more towards unders, wouldn't it?
It would. It would indeed. Fair to say you are not the Vrabel fan that others are, going back to the Patriots?
Very fair to say, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Will, anytime a Vrabel thing, Will is the first person to jump in and be like, hey, let's not get crazy with Vrabel. Will, always a pleasure, man. Thank you so much.
All right. Appreciate it, guys. See ya.
Should Have Bet More, the name of his podcast. He's also part of Chris Felica's Bear Bets Empire over there at Fox Sports. And, of course, star of the Megapod, Will Hill. Mark Borchardt on baseball on the other side. I'm sure he'll have a parlay or two. And maybe some strength. Next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
You're probably not great at betting every sport. Let Rithm help. The best bettors use data to get ahead, so why not put AI to work for you? Rithm is an app that helps you build personalized betting models, analyze trends, and make sharper picks for every game. Whether you're a seasoned bettor or looking for an edge, Rithm has you covered with AI-backed projections and insights. Right now, you can get 50% off an annual course subscription with promo code VSIN.
VSIN, as in the Vegas Stats and Information Network, Gil.
There you go. Or 25% off your first month with promo code HOOPS25. Head over to Rithm.com today. That's RITHMM.com. Glad we got that squared away.
Well, I mean, we sort of did.
Yeah, we sort of did. That's true. We sort of did. Kelly might have been right yesterday. What he called it. We get tweets of beating the book. Always appreciate it. This is KS at I Am Cold. He says, you took an extra football season, Kelly. My preferred way to phrase my college stint. Don't worry about the five.
That's actually how I say it pretty often. So
took
good
an
call.
Extra football
good
season.
Tweet, yeah.
5 years at FSU. Don Niemeyer. Actually, all teams that led at the last TV timeout lost. He was playing off when folks.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Even more amazing. New Jersey, New York. As one of those who had a Florida future and also had a UConn future the previous 2 years, I'll make this point on the Sweet 16 part of the formula. We're talking two programs with extremely high pedigree and two really uniquely talented coaches. I'd say Sweet 16 experience still matters. I do, too. I think these guys are good. We're going to look back at this and be like, Ollie was the real exception. These two guys are just out of control. Good. Money Caperletti. The formula was no match for the tribe. That's right. That's the best tweet of the day, Money Caperletti. Las Vegas 514, yo. So I ended up hedging for a small profit. I feel like I disappointed you, Sensei. I will not hedge again, Sensei. Please forgive me. No, man, I have no problem with people hedging. I just need to know the circumstances sometimes before I can answer properly. Dan Abrams, the author, did you see his tweet yesterday?
Yeah.
He's like, Dr. Bob's analysis greater than Kelly and Gill's hedging analysis. I found that amusing.
It's just tough for us to put ourselves in your shoes sometimes with it's your money, your bets, and, you know, what's going to make the...
See, Dan's brain doesn't work that way. His is very formulaic, and this is the answer. Anthony Ventresca. Does the fact that next year Florida should have 7'9" Olivier Rieu playing for them make them worth at least a sprinkle on a future? He is huge, and it looks like they bulked him up some this year. Hey, look, I'm not going to tell you not to.
I don't know, man. I'll go back to what you and Will were talking about. I mean, what are there thousands of college football players in the transfer portal right now?
Think about that. With both basketball and football, the obvious natural question that I or anybody else did ask or should ask is, all right, as we look to futures for next year, what's your first thought about this? You can't ask that now.
I mean, we have odds. You could ask it. I could never recommend betting any of these. You have no idea what these teams
are. Besides reading the odds, what's the real point? By the way, Duke is your short shot to win it all next year. Terrell Julie. Did I say that at some point? Third place ain't bad for a medical nerd. Thanks. He finished third. We only have the first three letters of your last name, Terrell. That's why I said what I said. Thanks for all you guys do. Macron, the depths of Potomac, Maryland. Go Eagles. He got some DMV talking there. This is from Jared Earls. Starting a sports betting contest, and I want to call it I Wish I Had Bet More because I would have won, and now I have regrets. Any advice on the name?
Should have bet more. Joke.
Oh, is that what that? Oh, I see what he's saying. Making my joke that I made before. And then Dan Groeschel. Now that the NCAA tournaments are over, who else is excited to start gambling on the WNBA? He said. Anyone? Ladies and gentlemen, oh, by the way, thank you to you and Matt Brown.
No problem.
For jumping on the Beating the Book podcast yesterday, a pre-long shots Beating the Book Masters podcast, which has become a bit of a tradition. It's a tradition not quite unlike any other, but it's a tradition nonetheless for the 89th Masters. So a lot of folks listening to that, you guys sort of whetting, Ron Flatter would pronounce that way, whetting the appetite for everybody for the long shots, which you have a whole list of how people can access long shots today.
Oh, man, Gil, why you got to bring that up? Okay, it's 2:15 Eastern time. We'll be live on the VSiN YouTube page. We'll be recording. So if you ever wanted to see what's it like when they record a show, you're going to get a little behind the scenes look live on the YouTube page because we'll be recording for it to re-air overnight the next two nights.
Awesome.
I don't have the exact times. And thanks.
I'd actually watch that because I'd like to see the witty repartee between you and Wes and Matt.
Well, thanks. And thanks to Joe Cirillo for making room for some airtime for us at night, I think.
Oh.
I think that's how it works.
Is that how that works? Okay. By the way, Mark Borchard does standing by here. Here's the race to 10, by the way. The Dodgers still didn't get there yesterday. They lose to the Nationals. The Padres, 9-2. They get their ninth win. With our win on the over yesterday, the Padres win that game 5-4. They're 9-2. The Dodgers are 9-3. Those are the two teams with nine wins. Remember, these are no circa tiebreakers, so the 2 and the 3 doesn't matter for a race to 10 at DraftKings. But Padres and Dodgers, these will all be dead heats if they all tie on the same day. Padres 9-2, Dodgers 9-3, followed by the Giants, Rangers, and Cubs 8-2, 8-5, and 8-5 respectively. And then the Phillies at 7-2 and the Mets at 7-3. Our Mets at 17-1, who, as I said yesterday, watch, the Mets will get their eighth win this afternoon. It'll be just enough just to tease us as to what this could have been. But 7-3 is where I had them at this point also. So it's not like they're underperforming where I thought they were.
Well, good
the
for
Twins are another story for March, April. We'll get to that when we get to that.
Good for everyone with bets on everybody else, though, because the Dodgers are actually giving you life.
Giving us life. Mark Borchard joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, from an undisclosed location somewhere in the desert. You can follow him on Twitter at BaseWinner, BaseWinner.com. How you doing, Mark?
Boom. Gil, I'm doing really good, thanks.
He's got the boom from his lyrics that he was spit the other day. We just had the boom specifically. Mark, first of all, how's your season going?
It's going good. I tell you what, I haven't had a funner season ever. This
really?
This is, yeah, because I've been able to do so much with processing data quickly, and it just makes a huge difference. I'm glad. I mean, it was a real grind for me to kind of learn how to program. It really took a long time. I started at 49 years old, but I've been able to master it at least to the point where I'm able to do what I want to do with the baseball stats. So pretty stoked about that, and pumped up. It's like there's good markets. I mean, like this thing with the race to 10 is. What a cool finish this is going to be, Gil.
Yeah, well, I wish it were cooler. Mets are going to finish just tantalizingly short, I think, as my bet. What is the team, before we get into your picks today, what's the team either to the good or the bad through roughly, you know, 10-plus games, let's say 10 to 12 games? What's the team that either to the good or bad just amuses you the most? You're like, this is ridiculous. Like either the performance to the positive or the negative.
Well, there's a couple of things. First of all, Texas being 8-3 with the worst batting average in baseball. I thought that was very interesting. But, you know, on the positive side, if you look at this Cardinals team, and I think a lot of people wrote them off and wrote Arenado off, but Arenado's gotten a hit in every one of his games. They've been double-digit hits in all but last night where they got 9. And I think they brought a guy in from Arizona, Brant Brown, a new hitting coach, and his approach is really, really good. I really like the way this guy thinks. They're taking a lot more, I wouldn't say conservative approach with two strikes, but hit the ball, make contact with two strikes. And you see this in baseball a lot. These guys with two strikes, they're still going for the downs. And I mean, he came in and gosh, that looks like a whole new team offensively. So we'll keep an eye on that. But that's exciting for me. Exciting, I guess, if you're a Cardinal fan as well.
Yeah, the Rangers thing's amazing because they're 5-0 in one-run games. And they have a run differential of -8, right? And they're, what's their record? 8-3? I mean, it's
8-3. Yeah.
It's just incredible how you could do that in baseball. What'd you land on today, Mark?
Well, I'm going to go with the Cardinals. I won't wrap the Sonny Gray wrap. I may do that on Friday. If you guys go over to BetUS TV at 8 a.m.,
oh,
I might
look
be
at
wrapping.
That.
There's a tease.
Yeah,
there's
wow.
A tease.
There we go. And so I like the Cardinals. I mean, the hitting's been tremendous. I'm a fan of Skeens. I like him better than Gray, but, you know, kind of the difference here is you've got an eighth by my ratings offense versus right-handed pitching versus a 24th with the Pirates. And then the bullpen, it kind of gets shaky for those Pirates, 29th in baseball by my ratings. So I like the Cardinals as my single play, but what would a segment be like without a base winner parlay?
What would it be? It wouldn't be a segment.
Yeah, and I'm going to go with Crochet. No reason to go against him. I've got that game priced -252. It's in the market at -200. And I'm going to go with Freddie Peralta in Colorado. And I just hate going with pitchers in Colorado. But I like Freddie Peralta in Colorado. Did you know, Gil, he has faced 48 batters in Colorado. He has struck out 24 of them. So a 50%
wow.
Strikeout rate in the 12 innings that he's pitched. And if you look at his last three game logs from a strikeout percentage, very high strikeout percentage last three game logs, you could say that it's right said Fred, Gil. He's too sexy for the game log.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm going to do that. Boston, Milwaukee, you risk a unit to win 1.46, Gil. That's my parlay of the day.
Well, we always say the best skill set you can have as a pitcher pitching in Colorado is the ability to erase batters. So K's is what you're looking for because contact ain't a good thing in Colorado. So the more you can erase batters, the better. Mark, appreciate it. Sorry about the shorter segment today. I don't know. It's a little mayhem-y in here with the Final Four and the championship game last night. We'll make it longer next time. I promise.
It's all good, Gil. My pleasure.
Mark Borchardt, if you want that Sonny Gray thing, bet U.S. show. Maybe we'll play it after the
break. Set your DVR.
Maybe we'll play it after the break, too. We also have Joe Pita's baseball picks coming off a win yesterday. And Paul Carr, Champions League. You want some midweek action? We got it next on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on The Numbers Game, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Take your betting to the next level with First Bet, whether it's Santa Anita, Gulfstream Park, or the road to the Kentucky Derby and Preakness. First Bet puts the action at your fingertips. Sign up now at firstbet.com. That's the number one, stbet.com, and use promo code VSiN200 to score a 20% rebate on all your wages for the first 60 days, up to $200. Don't miss out. Bet smarter today. at firstbet.com. I don't often review some of our guests' performances that have preceded the moment that we're talking.
You're a liar. You do it every break. We get to commercial break and Gil grades everybody.
Sometimes I'm like, that was awesome. And then sometimes I'm like, did he understand the question at all? Or Will Hill said something during his segment. And what I always love about Will is that sometimes he'll say something. I'm like, oh, wow, I had not thought about that. Because you know me, I think about everything. But he said that thing, and Joe Pete actually sees on this via text, that part about, you know, the final play where Sharp goes up in the air. And then for those of us, again, I watched at a restaurant, didn't have audio. I'm like, could he still have dribbled that? Right. And Will Hill suggested, I wonder what would have happened if he just continued to dribble that and force the refs to, you know, force the ref's hand. Would they have called it? And Joe Pita reminds us, because I had alluded to this game in the first segment as well for a different reason. But Joe Pita texts, he said, he goes, daring the ref is a great call by Will Hill. Remember, Chris Webber walked before he called the timeout against North Carolina in 93 out of the preceding missed free throw, and the ref let it go. Remember, so Webber got the rebound, clearly walked. Now, I don't know if the ref had his head turned or whatever, but Webber clearly walked because he was like, the moment was he was completely nervous. Then he dribbled beeline into the corner, which was also a mistake. And then he calls the timeout, and that was the end of that.
It's hard for me to, like, yes, watching that end game, you're like, you know, either you can't take that shot or you got to get, you know, kind of what Will brought up as well. Try to draw some contact, just launch it. But like,
I don't know about the contact part.
I can't kill the kid in the moment from, like, he knows it's a travel if he goes and touches it. Like, he knows they're going to blow a whistle. I understand him trying to be like, yo, I need help here.
It's tough to expect to have the wherewithal, the presence of mind, whatever the cliche you want to use, right, in that moment to be like, I'll just keep dribbling it so they don't notice.
Right, exactly.
And see if they force a hand. But I get the point is an interesting one, because obviously, you know, if Chris Webber's like, oh, I walked, here's the ball, right? You know, or something like that. And in this case,
I mean, think about if he did continue to dribble and he did have a teammate that was about to rescue him and then they blow the whistle, well, we'd all be killing the kid today.
Well, look, Florida had the hustle. They got to the ball first, right?
Right.
He did have the presence of mind to shield off Clayton.
Yes.
Right. Who was the guy that forced him into that situation. But Florida had the hustle to get to the ball first, and that was it.
I felt bad for him because he shielded and he's kind of looking around like, I need some help. Listen, nobody was there.
Listen, there was a detail here. We'll get to Paul Carr here on the Champions League. But there was a detail here that I didn't say in the first segment, which is, and that's why I related it. Even though it wasn't Freddie Brown passing the ball to Worthy, it wasn't Webber calling the timeout. But Samson called it incomprehensible that the Cougars couldn't get a shot off. But here's the where's the detail? Oh, that there were reports of Sharp wailing. Sharp made both of the turnovers the last couple of possessions, including that one, the last one, of hearing him wailing, crying after the game. And you hear that and you are reminded, even though these kids don't look like they're young sometimes, they are still kids. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of a heartbreaking thing for sure. Thrill of victory and the agony of defeat, as they used to say on Wide World of Sports, Jim McKay's famous intro. Paul Carr joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, to talk some midweek Champions League. Give us some action. How you doing, Paul?
I'm good. I'm good. We're at the quarterfinal stage. So, you know, this is obviously the business end of the tournament. It's great.
The business end of the tournament. And we always talk about the Expected Value podcast, but you also do the Ringer soccer betting podcast. And we have a new episode of that out.
You do. You want the long form version of what we're talking about here with me, a couple of the guys? It's on the Ringer gambling feed, the Ringer soccer show. So
Do you wear blazers, like the men in blazers, and say witty things to each other?
I'd like to think we say witty things minus the Blazers.
Okay.
You can be the judge.
Well, let's talk about the Champions League in general right now. Just the outrights. Anything there to bet?
I don't think so. I think it's just super interesting. I mean, no team, like, on DraftKings at least, PSG is the favorite at +320, Barcelona 330, Madrid 350, something along those lines. Varies a little bit book to book, but there's no clear favorite for a variety of reasons. I think Barcelona is generally considered the best team. PSG has the easiest matchup here in the quarterfinals, so it all kind of comes out. I think Inter at +1100 or so is, if you made me make a play, I have this in pocket from a little while back, but if you made me make a play here, I would do that. I think they're a little bit undervalued.
Arsenal Real Madrid is the one that, that most people are going to talk about, but you don't have a play in that one.
Yeah, this one's tough. I mean, on one hand, there's no chance I'm betting on Arsenal. They were in this stage last year against Bayern Munich and just laid a complete egg, especially, you know, they were down a goal in the last half hour and got one shot off in the second leg. They're also going to be missing Gabriel, one of their starting center backs. And Real Madrid has the devil magic. They won last year. They always seem to win. So, but the numbers shifted so much toward Real Madrid. Like, to advance, you're talking like plus 140, plus 150 for Arsenal, which is pretty tempting. But there's just no way I'm going to get going on Arsenal to advance, given their history. So I'm staying away from this game specifically.
All right. As always with Paul, we have a three pack of plays. And you, Paul, came up with the suggestion that Kelly will attempt a pronunciation of play number three, correct?
Let's do it.
Okay.
No shot. He's got no shot.
He's got no shot at this. What do you have to say for yourself in advance, Kelly?
Yeah, probably not.
Okay.
Probably not.
All right. Let's start with one and two. What do you have here?
All right. All right. We'll start with today. Bayern Munich, Inter Milan. I have under 2.5 goals at minus 120. Bayern has a lot of injury issues. Most notably, Jamal Musiala, who's maybe the best creative player in the Bundesliga. He won't be here for this game. So it'll be basically the first time Bayern hasn't had him this year. So I think their attack may suffer a little bit. They have plenty of other good options in attack. They're maybe the deepest team in the world, but he's hurt. You know, three potential starting defenders are hurt. Just a lot of injuries that they're dealing with. Inter would love nothing more than to pull a classic Italian cliche and get this back to Milan at like 0-0 or scratch out a 1-0 win or something. So I think this will be one of those classic cagey first legs with both teams kind of feeling each other out, not going to make a mistake. Maybe we get a goal or two, but I like under 2.5 at minus 120 here.
All right. Kelly, Inter Milan from Serie A. Bayern Munich from?
Das Bundesliga.
Yeah.
It's always worth doing. It's always worth doing that. All right. Bayern Munich, Inter Milan, under 2.5 goals. And then the PSG Aston Villa game, you got something.
Yeah, this game is, let's see, this one's tomorrow. I have both teams to score here. Minus 135, I believe, is my price. PSG, as I mentioned, they're the favorite to win the tournament after they upset Liverpool. They're a significant favorite to advance in this matchup overall. And they're almost certainly going to score. They're like minus 2,000, minus 2,500 to get a goal in this matchup. But I also think Villa can get a goal. They're going to have to defend most of this game, defend and counter. And that's really what they're comfortable doing. They did it against Bayern in the group stage, got a goal out of that. They're kind of at their best on the break when they can use Ollie Watkins and company to get out and run and get a goal. So I think they get one way or the other. I also don't think Villa's defense is good enough to hold up for, you know, 90 minutes when PSG has 2/3 of the ball or more and shut them out. So I think the style just plays into a goal for each team. I don't have a side to back here. I mean, obviously PSG is a pretty heavy favorite at home. I don't really see that not happening, but I just think both teams can get a goal and minus 135. I'm willing to pay that juice.
All right. And the nice thing about these first legs of the round of 16, we don't have to worry about all like aggregate point shenanigans, right? So that's out the windows. Okay. So Bayern Munich, Inter Milan, under 2.5 goals, PSG, Aston Villa tomorrow, both teams to score. And then Barcelona, as they say in Castellano, Barcelona and Dortmund from?
Das Bundesliga.
Also, yes. Huh? So, Paul,
you throw me off here.
You have someone to score a goal in this game. Should we allow Kelly to take a stab at the player?
Yeah, take a shot, Kelly.
That is the legendary Serhou Guirassy.
That's not terrible. You got the first name.
Yeah.
Last name. I mean, to be honest, you know, soccer pronunciations get fuzzy, but most commonly Guirassy. He was born in France. He's from Guinea, where French is the language. So Guirassy.
Stupid.
Serhou Guirassy to score a goal. I got this at plus 265. He's on Dortmund, by the way, for those asking. Now, if you want to wait till lineups come out about an hour before the game, you can. It's not 100% sure he'll start, but he has started all their Champions League games this calendar year and 10 of them this season. And he's scored in 7 of his 12 Champions League games, 10 goals in 12 games overall in Champions League. And Barcelona's going to have most of the ball. Dortmund, again, also is going to try to hit you on the counter, and he is the guy who's going to get out in space. And Barcelona's defense is bad. Like, it's really bad. They give up better shots than Ipswich Town so far this season, and Ipswich Town is fast-tracked to relegation in the Premier League. So Barcelona is going to give up probably 2 or 3 good chances to Dortmund on the break, and Guirassy is the guy who's most likely to get it. So plus 265, you can get plus 250 or better. I like him to score a goal.
Paul, thank you as always, man. Appreciate it. Good luck with all the bets.
Thanks, Kelly. You work on the pronunciation. We'll talk again.
Yeah, I'll be better next time.
I wouldn't have gotten that one either.
Mbappe. I got that there one.
You go. Nailed it.
Drew Dinsick, NBA, maybe some tennis, and we'll talk Masters, the 89th Masters. Kelly's got some thoughts, of course, as he heads into a long shots cavalcade today. That's coming up.